Hey, Devo here, and I want to take a moment to thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to our podcast. It would mean the world to myself, the Cleaners, and the Gooch if you could give us a follow on Instagram. There's a link in the show notes, or you can look us up at W2SPod. Thanks again, and enjoy the show.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Deviants. Welcome to show! I am the Clinteris, and I am here with...
El Gucho del Hoyo.
And I'm Devo, obviously.
And we are... The administration. No. We are the social deviants, who are here today to talk about what Gooch said in España is... El hoyo, the hole. But here in America on Netflix is The Platform. It is a 2009 movie. I believe it was released 2019. It was technically released September 6, 2019 abroad at a, I think a film festival, the Toronto International Film Festival. And then it finally... got distribution from Netflix on March 20th, 2020. We've got no financials because Netflix hasn't released those, but the movie won the People's Choice Award for Midnight Madness at the Toronto Film Festival. And that's what helped it secure the streaming deal with Netflix. So anyone that want to watch this movie and you have Netflix, you're fucking set, baby. I don't know if it's been released anywhere, like if it's been released on physical media or anything like that, so... I don't think it has. So, gotta get that Netflix, baby. Anyways. So, let's just start off with the nuts and bolts of this here. The film starts off with these chefs, food makers. I don't know what you would call them exactly.
I would say a high-end kitchen.
Like a Michelin star kitchen or something like
Michelin
that?
Yeah, Michelin star kitchen. Because first of all, it looked very steampunkish, by the way.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? Like a kitchen inside of like some sort of early 20th century like cruise ship or something.
Because there's like next door, they were building the Model T.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it looked like. So I was like, this is weird. It's very, and like the way they were dressed too, it was very like late 19th century, early 20th century, like vestments.
And there was a gentleman who, you know, for lack of a better word, I just call him the warden because he was kind of like the warden. And you know, this is like a prison-esque type of thing. I think, The character's name was just Chef. The actor was like Shubio Fernandez de Jauregui. The fool's name, Gooch, you have to help me with some of this stuff here.
Jefe del restaurante. That's his boss of the restaurant or head of the restaurant.
Restaurant boss. The actor's name is TX UBO.
Trujillo Fernandez de Jauregui. Dude, it's like super... Trujillo. I'm assuming that's what it is. It's super, super like northern Spanish Vasco type area, dude.
Okay.
So, I mean, like these names are... I mean, I had no problem understanding it in Spanish because I'm like... There was some things that were lost in translation, by the way. But I was like listening to it and watching it and not really paying attention to the
subtitles.
The subtitles. Every so often I would watch just you know, out of curiosity, watch what they're saying and read the subtitles. And I was thinking about it, I'm like, man. I mean, it was what they said, but figuratively it's not what it meant. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I've noticed that with other Netflix programs as well. Their subtitles, I don't know if it's something that Netflix does themselves or if it's the production companies that provide it. The subtitles rarely, if ever, match what's being said. So for me, I actually, when I was watching it, I had the American dub on and I turned off subtitles just because the subtitles were so bad that the what they were saying in the dub made more sense and made it more enjoyable to watch.
I would have to say, like, I've seen a couple movies that have been in subtitles from Spanish and English, and it's not just the Netflix thing. It's a lot of things are lost in translation in that way. So it's just colloquialisms and, you know, the double meanings of words and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're not going to get the double entendres and shit because it's not in the same language. Mm-hmm. The main actor, Ivan Massagué Horta, is that kind of name? Where do you part of Spain do you think he's from?
I have no idea. I'm looking it up. I mean, this fool's from Barcelona.
And then the Trimigasi character, his fool's name is Zorion.
He's alien.
This fool's a Vasco.
Okay.
This was like from northern part of Spain. Well, that's why it's like that.
They're just Latin names I'd never seen before. That's why I'm just curious.
I mean, first of all, they're not Latin, okay?
Oh, fair enough.
They are Spanish names. Ivan Massagué, that fool's from Barcelona. Boom, Barcelona. Because he didn't sound like the other Spanish people. By the way, the very bonus, he was. You could understand what he's saying. He wasn't from Sevilla. He wasn't from Madrid. Because they have like that very, you know, that the way they speak is like very with like the they kind of slur their words. It's hard for me to understand them. But he spoke very clearly.
Okay.
Go ahead. That's just another note I want to make.
No, I love that. I love that. I love to get to in this stuff because there's no way unless we're talking to you that I would know this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and probably for the listeners as well. So the El Jefe, he scolded at one point. He scolded the workers, the chefs when he found that there was a hair, in their food, which is it's ironic because really. After the first couple, levels, none of that shit matters. People are fucking spitting and fucking shitting and peeing in the shit and messing it all up. So it's just
throwing up everywhere.
It made me think that they don't have a fucking clue. Once they put that food on the platform, they don't have a fucking clue where it's going.
Well, from what I understood, I mean, if you notice, the thing that he got all upset about was supposedly the message I don't want to give up. It's spoilers, by the way. Okay, spoilers. So if you guys haven't watched it, watch it.
That's all the movie.
No, please watch the movie. It's actually a very interesting movie. It's very entertaining. But at first, I didn't understand why he got so upset about it. But, later on, like 15 minutes of the movie, they realized, the main character and his third cohort, I would say, realized that this one item was supposedly like this message, the thing that's going to free them from this. And it happened to be the thing that the guy's hair was in. It was a little, what do they call it? It was like a little parfait or like the
panna cotta. The panna cotta is the message.
The panna cotta, yeah, exactly. And it was that.
The panna cotta is the message.
So I was wondering if there was more of a, more of a meaning to it. I mean, that's why he was so angry, because of the hair.
Oh, interesting.
Because it did seem a little bit out there. I'm like, dude, I mean, I understand these fools are getting peed on. Why is he so cared about this one item that has to be so perfect?
And I know as a head chef, you got to run a tight ship. I mean, I watch fucking Hell's Kitchen all the time.
Yeah.
But
he got really butthurt about this one item.
Yeah. And So I know for me, maybe I missed that connection so early on in the movie about the specialty of the panna cotta. Obviously, towards the end of the movie, they go into, why it's the message. Or they go into it that the panna cotta is the message. I don't recall why it was the message and what message it was trying to send.
So there's a scene where him and Baharat, Goreng and Baharat, they come down. It should sound like some Final Fantasy shit. But they come down and they see like this wise man, which is like some brother in a wheelchair. And he tells them that they need, if they're going to go all the way down and come back up, they need to bring an untouched dish, a delicacy, to send a message to the people, to the administration, to show them that
Right.
They've unified their solidarity type of thing. So yeah. I think that's why they just happened to pick that. I thought that they were going to pick the fucking, like there would be snails on there again.
So it wasn't, so I guess what I'm trying to get at is that it wasn't anything by the administration saying this panna cotta is the message and
no, it was a red herring.
Something will only happen if this comes back. It just happens that
they picked
that hare was in that one particular dish and these guys chose that same dish to be the message.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, but maybe that scene is taking place after the movie. We don't know. You know what I mean? Who knows?
Well, I think it was like it was put in there to make him think that like make the viewer think the same thing because if the cook himself thought this thing had to be perfect and the one thing they looked down and like it was this one item like this must be it. So it's kind of like all right.
I see what you're saying. It's just innately
Right. So it made you think that it was a special thing. Eventually it was, you know, this one woman's daughter that was down there, which obviously she's the one that's untouched.
Yeah.
And it was the message.
So I definitely personally would never fucking agree to go into something like that. And I don't know how much they knew about it before they got in there. Because even the lady that worked there didn't really exactly understand what was happening, you know, when she actually got in there. I mean, she had an idea,
right.
But she didn't really understand the full gravity of it. So, I mean, no matter how much I needed money, I mean, this is provided. I mean, we, you know, all three of us, we live in a privileged country. We are very privileged to have what we have and, you know what I mean? And be as, you know, affluent as we are by like world standards. So I have no idea in some other country or, you know, people that are down on their luck and they really need money. But personally, I would never agree to do anything like this. Luckily, I don't have the luxury of not ever agreeing, not ever putting myself into. But would you guys, how bad would it have to get for you guys to agree to do something like this to fucking make money or have a career?
What was weird, I'm like, this guy wanted to stop smoking and get a degree. I'm like... Go work your little bit harder and get your fucking degree, man. And then, I mean, I understand that the woman, I guess she had cancer and the only way to pay for it was to go into this hole. I mean, because that's what I got for a bit.
Because with her, I think she knew what was going on in platform. And when she went in, she's like, I've got cancer, so there's no point in me. Like, I think she was doing everything she could to get everybody to rise up and be better and beat the system, essentially.
No, I totally disagree. She truly did not know what was going on. She was one of those people. She's an administration person. They tell her what happens, and she believes it thoroughly. Up until she realizes, that's why she gives up. That's why she gives up.
She didn't know. She doesn't know the exact details because when he asks her like how many floors there are, she's like 200.
They didn't tell her. They told her what they wanted to tell her. Let's just say that.
Right.
They told her what they wanted to tell her.
But she gives up because it was that, right? So he asks her how many floors are there. She's like, oh, there's 200. When he wakes up and he sees her hanging, they're on room 202, which means that she knew that they're fucked.
Yeah, they were lying to her. Everything was happening.
So that's when she was like, all right, well, I'm out.
Exactly. Up until that point, that's when she knew, she realized that like her whole life was a lie. And she gave up.
Eat my cancerous flesh. Yeah,
exactly.
So right at the beginning, these names, we talked about the actors' names, but the character names are also very interesting. Goreng means fried in Malay Indonesian.
Yep.
Trimigasi, which is a great name. I love that name. Trimigasi. It means thank you in the same language. Imogiri was a royal Javanese cemetery in Indonesia.
Interesting.
That was interesting because she was obviously dying. Baharat means spice in Arabic.
Okay.
Miharu means to see in Japanese.
Okay.
And Senor Brombang is a Japanese word for shallot. So those were really the only characters that I find here in the cast. I don't know, Gucci, if you have anything else up in IMDb, but...
No, I'm looking at very interesting those are the ones. I mean, the other one is called Amigo de Bajarat, preso, yeah. Which means... preso means prisoner.
No, the prisoner.
Cocinero, preso. They're all just very...
Descriptions of the characters, not necessarily
description
the names.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, Thrimigasi, he starts off, and I don't know, this fool's just so... You know, if they remade this, you know, there's just so many good actors that you could get to play that role in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But this guy just fucking kicks it out. He just hits it out of the fucking park. Yeah. This gentleman, and he, you know, he starts off by saying, he's like, there's those at the top, there's those at the bottom, and those who fall. And, you know, and he's like, speaking tires me out. It's just, the way he starts off is just so funny because...
Yeah.
It's just a perfect introduction because, you know, they have these movies where you're going to go into some place that the world is not aware of. And you're going to have to try to reveal to the audience the details of this world. And a lot of times the way that you do this is you insert a character into that world that doesn't know anything about it. And as that character learns, the audience learns. And in this case, the person he learns from is Thrimigasi. So, you know, in... He's just a perfect way to introduce you to this world and sort of almost make you feel at ease, like it's casual, like it's normal, because that's the way that he portrays it. And, you know, the main character comes in, Gorang, and he is very much alien to all of this. And, you know, he doesn't even want to eat the leftovers when they first come down. I think they're on like level 43 or something like that.
That's like, I think so.
First start. Yeah. And I was curious, number one, how long would you guys wait to eat the leftovers, or would you just immediately dig in if you were him?
I mean, there had to be something on there that wasn't absolutely spoiled. I think he was just shocked at like once the platform came down and all the food was there, he finally understood, like, you know, the pecking order and what was happening. And I think it was just the shock that got him, which is why he waited, because he must have waited, what, 2-3 days before he ate?
Yeah.
And then then he's like picking off a grape here or there.
I agree with Diva. They told him that he was going to go on at Oyo, right? That's what they probably told him, whatever it was. He didn't expect such inhumanity, such brutality of what it really was, you know? I mean, I don't think anyone expects, like, let me look at the poor woman. And she was told this whole time that it was to teach solidarity among people, right? And that was the whole thing. When she just lost it at that point, when she found out they were lying to her this whole time. And I agree with Diego. It was a shock at first at the inhumanity of his that he found himself in, for just wanting to come down here to get a degree and to stop smoking in 6 months.
There was a moment where Thrimigasi says Muslims and teetotalers. In the dub. But could you tell me, Gooch, what he actually said?
He said what he something. Meant? I actually had to look at what he actually said, because it was something
some
very
slang
Spanish.
Where you didn't know what it was. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I had no idea what he said, and I was
but
like,
I think that's the gist of it, right? Because the people that won't drink alcohol are the Muslims and the teetotalers.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, he said something that I kind of understood, that someone that didn't drink. And then I look down, I'm like, it's a teetotaler. I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's what a teetotaler is.
I'd have to look it up. You know, let me. Well, keep continuing on, and I'll see what it was.
So before, I want to get into more of Thrimigasi because he's just such a great character. But what, in your guys' opinion, what do you think was actually moving the platform? Physically moving it, magnetism, magic. I don't know.
I mean, it was a platform that wasn't connected to anything. It had to have been.
Supernatural.
I'm assuming. I don't know if it was supernatural, but it was definitely weird. I mean, there was nothing down there at the end there.
No. I wanted to talk about that too when we get to that point. Yeah. But yeah, I could not figure out what the science behind, you know, the platform moving. The funny thing is, no one seemed to fucking even ask or care. I don't know. You know what I mean? But I mean, guess you're in fucking in the situation. You're more considered with your fucking health and your safety and shit more than that. But nevertheless, so Thrymi Ghassi is he's a very harsh fellow. He spits on the food the first time it comes down. Mm-hmm. He spits on it, and later on, he actually pisses on the shit. And at that point, I just felt like it was clear that this was like a classism allegory, the whole film.
Yeah.
Regardless of what was happening per se, I just felt like at that point there was just no way around it. You had, and we'll get into this more as we go, but I just think that that was obvious. And if you look on social Wikipedia, it actually calls it a social science fiction film, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, that they gave it that even Thrymi Ghassi, I think his whole reasoning for the pissing and the spitting is that's the way it is. You know, the people above us do the same thing, and the people and that's what happens to the people below. So like, that's the way he lives his life. Is you're on the lower levels, you're going to be eating the spit, the piss, and the shit from people. So pass it on down.
So you know, he, and I was wondering, you know, you can't, number one, you couldn't jump on it. You couldn't jump on the platform as it was coming back up. It was going too fast.
Right.
And, you know, at the end, we see the girl is on the platform as it's going up, but I was under the impression that you couldn't really even be on it when it was going up, because when it got to the top, you would just smash you into the ceiling or something, right?
Again, supernatural.
But maybe it just could have
slowed as it got higher and higher.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not to say that like the floor right above, floor zero is the top one. That's not to say that there's a perfect gap, you know, between one and zero. Because they never really show that, you know. They just show they show the food going, the snails going on level zero.
Yeah.
And they show the platform starting to go down, but I don't think it opens up directly to the first level.
Mm. Yeah, maybe you're right.
I don't recall that. Yeah, so maybe it goes down a bit, you know, to separate the highest class with the second highest class, as it were. But I think they made a comment how there was like what 15 feet between levels.
Something like that.
Says metros, which would be he said 5 to 6 meters, which would be 15 to 17 feet. I would say.
Boom. There you go.
Oh, so I looked it up. He said austerios, which means they're austere. It's they live a very strict life.
Okay, so now let's get into the Samurai Max and the Samurai Plus.
This scene, like the way it was set up, was so perfect because the story gets you into understanding why Gorang brought a book. And then it quickly delves into Thrymi Ghassi just talking about this story, because I think they're also talking about why they went in, and then I don't know if you have any greater explanation about it, Clint, but like basically Thrymi Ghassi is telling the story about like one of the reasons why he's in there is because of him purchasing this knife, and so he's like, you know, blah blah blah, and that's why you brought a book. So then Garang's like, well, what did you bring? He's like, obviously, pulls out the knife.
Yeah.
And it was just like the way it played out was just so perfect.
So it's funny because he talks about how he bought this knife, the Samurai Max, on like a tele-fucking commercial, right? And they came out and they talked about the knife and it's fucking great. And then the next scene was them talking about the Samurai Plus, and he's like, fuck, why don't you just put that there? I could have just bought the Samurai Plus too. Obviously he bought them both, right?
Yeah.
And he got so pissed that he threw his TV out the window and it landed on someone's head.
Oh, that's
like
right.
He called them like an illegal immigrant. Yeah, illegal immigrant's head.
Yeah.
And that's how, and you know, that's, they sent him there so he can like, you know, reduce the sentence. I mean, that's,
well,
number
they,
one.
They offered him a choice.
Yeah, he choice, said, right?
They said you can you can go to a mental institution.
Yeah.
Or go into the hole or the platform or el hoyo, I would say.
Yeah.
And people said, well, go into el hoyo.
I mean, that's shit luck, number one, for Thrymi Ghassi, obviously. You know, but it's just a funny fucking story.
Yeah.
But Gorang, and, you know, he obviously took, like Diwa mentioned, he took the knife with him. So, you know, that's really funny. The Gorang took Don Quixote. I was curious, you know, they showed that someone brought a fucking mannequin. There was someone that had a mannequin. There was two dudes that had like
a surfboard.
Yeah, there was two dudes that had a blow up pool that they were in.
Yeah.
What would you guys bring?
My problem was same thing with that Garang had was that like I wouldn't really know what he didn't know what he was getting into. Like at least with Kimigase, he was insane. That's why he brought the item that his insanity brought him to. So I mean he got lucky that he had a knife. These other people must have known, at least some of them. Because some of them obviously brought a samurai sword. They were talking. Yeah. They were talking about bats. They were talking about guns. They were talking about other items that were that could be used for defense.
And right? Baharat brought a rope, so I almost feel like he was prepared, and his goal was to climb out
Climb out of this place. So there's some people that knew about what was going on in this location, and others that were just got dumb luck about it. And then others that had no idea, you know, unless I'm sort of criminal that they told what this is. I mean, I would bring something that would be something that would keep me, entertained.
Like a book,
I mean, I don't think I would bring a book, but I mean, it would be, I don't know. I really don't know what I'd bring.
So say you did know what it was. That reminded me of that
Wayne's World thing. Like, I don't own a book, let alone many books, to necessitate an entire book rack.
Exactly. So let's say you guys have watched the movie and something happens and they tell you you're going to go into this shit for real. What do you actually bring at that point then?
If you know what was in there.
I mean, I think the dude that brought the samurai sword had the best plan, best idea, because it's like, for me, like, even though you've got the Samurai X or the Samurai Plus that gets sharper every time you use it, like that's still a close range, you know, weapon. And if you had to defend yourself in any sort of situation, like those dudes that had the swords, like they were big boys. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not going to be able to survive most likely if I've got to wait for one of those guys to come in close so I can shank them or slice them up. But I can cut a motherfucker's head off with a samurai sword.
And the problem with a gun is that...
Limited ammo.
I'm like, they said one item. Does that mean a gun with no ammo? You're asking for a pistol. You don't get the fucking clip. So I mean, you're kind of shit out of luck there. If I knew what I was getting into, I really would have to do something bad to go in there. Because I mean, I don't know if there's any situation where you'd want to go in there. Oh, I'm having trouble smoking or I want to get my degree. I'm going to go into this hellhole. You accidentally
deleted your WoW character.
Fuck that. It's fine. That's fine. That doesn't matter. There's almost nothing I would have to go into this situation. I knew you were going to ask this question, Clint, and I was thinking about it. And I couldn't come up with something.
Like, I think machete is a good one. You bring a sword is hard because you... You kind of have to be proficient to wield it properly. I think machete is just a hacking weapon, and it's still pretty long.
And again, it'd have to be something. It would be a machete, maybe an axe or something. It's a lightweight weapon. A pike.
Something. A pike, he said.
The bitch said a freaking crossbow. That's what someone brought in.
Yeah.
So something, again, it would have something to defend. I really wouldn't really know, man, especially if I knew I was going down there. Maybe I'm with you, Clint. I'd probably get like a machete. Something, a sharp weapon that's long enough to where it keeps people away. You said samurai sword takes too much skill to use. Axe, a sharp edge weapon that doesn't take too much skill, you know?
So Gorang suggests that they ration out the food, which, you know, he does this really early, which is actually how you would probably get everyone to survive, right?
Right.
You know, and then but I think I actually think the funny thing is the real issue with this whole fucking thing is actually not food. It's actually not going insane, to be honest. Because you're going a straight month with no fucking outside. That's fucking rough, man. Even if you have a, you know, a cellmate, and then you have to take into account that this person might murder you at any fucking moment. So I think that would be really hard to live a month like that straight for most people, except especially if you have never done time in your life. I think if you're like a like a lifetime criminal and you've been in the penal system for a long time, you probably would do better in that situation. And obviously people do go crazy in this. But I thought it was very interesting because Trimigasi's first question is, are you a communist? You know, obviously we talked about that this is a social commentary, a social allegory. I thought it was very interesting that that would be the first thing that he would ask. And it's funny and it's interesting because that's what he is sort of asking the audience too. Like, because when Goreng first suggests that, I bet you a lot of people are like, yeah, we should do that. That's really not the way the world works at all.
Mm.
And the first question that a lot of people are going to ask is, are you a communist? So I thought that was very interesting. And, you know, obviously he has little regard for other people, the people below him. And most people do, right? And this is what this is about. I thought it was funny that eventually Goreng uses the same fucking tactics that Trimigasi tried to actually get people to do what he wanted them to do. He like threatened to shit in their food, right?
Well, but only after that woman
for sure
asked those guys nicely for to tell him like all you have to do is this, all you have to do is this, all you have to do is this, like for like what, 3 or 4 days, and then finally he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna tell them I'm gonna shit on their food. And spread it all over the food. And they're like, all right, fine.
But here's the thing about that, Gooch. I'm sorry, but if I'm those guys, that's like a hollow threat. You're telling me you're eating once a fucking day. And you're going to be able to have the fucking bowel control to shit on demand when this platform comes down, which is only there for like a minute.
Well, that one girl shed in Baharat's face.
She did.
On demand.
Fool straight got duked on.
Yeah, duked on. I don't know if it was the girl or the girl, was the girl or the dude, but...
It was the girl, I think.
Like, I mean, she shat in his face.
She did, like, but it was they like had that. A little bit of time to build that up, though. Because they were talking to him for a little while there. So maybe. Now, after he's talked to Trimigasi for a little while, they wake up in 171, right? And no, I think this is before that. There's like a dude that falls. Am I wrong? Before they moved out, there was a guy that fell to his death that like hit their fucking platform. I don't know about you guys, but when I first saw that, I was like, oh fuck, okay, this movie is fucking serious. This isn't just gonna be fucking snarky comment, snarky dialogue between two characters. This is gonna be like a brutal ass fucking movie. And I was like, okay, this, the whole fucking vibe of the movie changed for me. What did you guys think when that happened?
Well, first of all, I knew it was heading, like, again, I think a lot of what was being said is lost in translation. The way Trimigasi was talking to Goreng in Spanish and how he was alluding, even Goreng was like, how did you survive down there? How did you survive down there? How did you survive down there? You know, with no food. And he asked a couple times and he was like, don't ask. And the way he would say it was very, very nonchalant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super alluding to what was going to happen.
In that moment. Yeah, exactly.
In that moment. So you knew that this fool ate people.
I mean, I think that's what he said, right? Is that someone jumped?
No, but towards the end. But once it was already down there and he was tied up. But when they were on top, he just kind of like, you know, it was, he would allude to it. He dodged the question, but the way he was dodging it was like, dude, this fool ate some fucking human calf. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was expecting it. I liked the way that it was portrayed, the way that he was like, don't, you stay calm. Help me help you. I'll eat you and I'll feed you. And the fool's like, you're going to feed me.
That was fucking terrifying.
And then he gives him the most reassurance, and he says, don't worry, I'm not going to eat your testicles.
Yeah.
I'm gonna save those for later.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, and I'll, don't worry, you know what? I'll be nice to you. I'll heal you up. And I'm like, man, that's fucking, this guy's nuts.
Yeah, so, I mean, when they woke up in 171, and you know he's tied up, and there's a psycho with a fucking knife, and that's some people's worst nightmare, man. That's fucking terrifying. And the fact that he was talking to him so soothingly, it just makes it even more scary, because you knew that he was gonna do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, because it wasn't his first rodeo.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just like, oh, I'm crazy, I'm gonna fucking do it. No, he's like, no, don't. I have this planned out. I've been thinking about this shit for a while. And you know, they show a bunch of people jumping right when they wake up. You know, people realize they wake up and they realize they're too fucking low or whatever. Yeah. And you know, it really made me think of, you know, as this being a social allegory, it really made me think of people, you know, jumping off a building when they lose on the stock market or they get divorced or some shit like that. Because really, you know, those people, their life is way better than most people's lives. You know, and but when they, you know, experience adversity, they want to end it all. And I think it's interesting because early on, Trimegasi says, you know, there's those that are at the top, those at the bottom, those who fall. And he was saying, when you get to the bottom, you won't be able to jump because you don't have it in you.
Yeah.
And I think there is something to be said about that because, you know, a lot of people that have, you know, these people that I talked about before, these people that are affluent people that lose on the stock market or they get divorced or something, they jump off a fucking building. You know, their life at that moment, even if they lived and they went bankrupt or they got divorced from their wife, is still much better than a lot of people's lives, but they don't have that perspective, you know?
Yeah, right.
And I think that in this movie, you're seeing that same type of tug and pull. People that have been at the bottom, they get it to the top and they start to get spoiled. And then when they get moved back down, that's it. I can't do this shit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was the thing that we saw later on with Imagiri. But to get back to Trimegasi before we get to her, when he says he's going to start cutting off the little strips of flesh and treating his wounds and have him eat himself. I mean, just like you guys mentioned, I don't think I've ever heard something shit like that in a movie. Have you?
I'm pretty sure I have.
I mean, guess.
I want to say something like that in one of the Texas Chainsaw movies.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure I've seen a film where like the guy was fed himself, like fed his own flesh before too.
Oh God!
And you know, or like in was it Red Dragon when Hannibal Lecter is feeding Ray Liotta's own brain?
There you go. Oh my God! There you go. You called it, Devo. Shit.
I think that's what I remember because he fed his own brain to him. Yeah.
So when Trimegasi cuts a piece of his, a big ass piece, by the way, he's like, I'm gonna cut a small piece. That was a big fucking piece, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of off his leg. That was nasty as fuck for sure.
That's basically like a chicken slider.
Yeah. I was stunned how big it was. I was like, holy shit, this crazy fuck. And then you have the Deus Ex Machina and the chick Miharu.
Yeah.
You know, she comes back. She comes back and she's on the platform as it comes down that this is happening. And obviously she kills Trimegasi, or she injured him, I think, technically. And saves Gorang. And then Gorang massacres Trimegasi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're Gorang at that moment, do you do that? Or what do you do?
I think you do, right?
I do it.
At that point, you're already kind of like driven insane.
I do it.
And you were put in a situation where this man was going to not only eat you, but he was going to make sure that you didn't die from the wounds and feed you your own flesh. Like, that's not something where, like, this guy's bleeding out and you're just like, okay, well, he's done now. Like, you're going to want to take your revenge, right? That's why he picks up the knife and just goes to town the full face.
Well, not only that, is he put him in this false sense of security. He befriended this guy. They had a good time, you know, when they were on 43, you know. And then ultimately it was just a ruse to put him in this false sense of security to tie him down and to eat him. That's all it was, and Gorang knew that. He wasn't this person that was this nice old man that, you know, kind of went insane, that went in here, you know, this whole thing about, you know, surviving down there. You know what? Maybe he didn't eat people. Maybe he did survive on scraps. It wasn't true. He was the monster that he always was, and Gorang killed him.
Yeah. Devo, does Goose sound like Max Headroom to you or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, is it really bad?
No, it's gone now.
It's fine now. It's prime now. But, okay. Yeah, I think TeamSpeak's just crapping out. Yeah,
so bit, after yeah. that, he actually eats three Migasi. They both fucking do. Yeah. And yeah. which is insane. Well,
because he's yeah, all, no he's, Garang's all messed up, and it's Miharu who's like, eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he eats the tasty morsels.
Did you guys notice that when she dipped out, that she had strung like a little strings of meat pieces that looked like bloody jerky to take with her, and she hung it over her shoulder as she left?
Yeah.
I thought that was the dog.
No, that was before the dog. So that was through Migasi.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe, yeah, because she did the same thing with the dog then. Yeah. I didn't recognize it with Trumgasi, but I remember, like, after she killed the dog, and then fucking she took off from the Garang and the chick, that, like, she had remnants of the dog in a bag on her back.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, man. I mean, that shit reminds me of fucking Universal Soldier and shit.
Well, she did that so that that she could eat all the way down, because remember, they can't keep anything. Any food.
Any of the food, yeah.
Any of the food. So, and the only reason why she didn't kill, obviously, Garang, because Garang was nice to her, right? Yeah. In the first they first met her. Even what's his face, like, you know, he may have done something to her in the past. Who knows? Because she had no qualms of killing Tomigasi. None whatsoever. You know?
Yeah, because he knew her.
Yeah, he had known her. So who knows? He might have done something to her in the past 8 months or however long he was there before. So, and he was, I guess he was the only one that was nice to her. You know, he let her live. And when, you know, obviously when they met up again with, when she's with, when he's with, what's her face? Partnered with Imeguri. They were both nice to her. They didn't kill him, but she you know, took the dog down to have a nice treat.
did you guys, I mean, maybe he was just incapacitated, but Garang was like laying next to Thurimigasi's rotting corpse for a while. And I feel like, maybe they had badass AC in there, but the smell would be just overwhelmingly putrid, right?
And well, rancid. My problem was that you would think it's like a closed environment, but there was maggots growing on that thing. That means there was an opening somewhere, and there was flies somewhere. I mean, true. If it's a closed environment, he would rot, but there would be nothing growing. I mean, it would just be decay.
Maggots don't just appear.
Yeah, there would have to be flies there, and I didn't see any flies there.
Interesting.
So there would have to be something there, and the reason why he was laying there is because, like, at first, when Miharu gave him the food, the piece of meat of, you know, of what the Migasi, fool puked it up, and he got so hungry the fool, he's like, you know, crawled over that fool's flesh and he started like ripping pieces out.
Yeah. So he was just laying right next to it, like it was a leftover turkey. Exactly. You know, from Thanksgiving.
That's fucking terrible.
Just fucking grabbing a piece here, there.
Using his right leg as a pillow and just eating away at the rest of his body and shit.
So Imeguri, she brought her dachshund?
The wiener dog. Yeah, it was a dachshund.
It was a wiener dog, which was funny that they picked that particular breed because of the name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's associated with food. I don't know. I feel like it's so obvious that dog is going to get eaten the second time you watch it. I didn't know if that was shocking to you, or just thought it was like, okay, I knew that was going to happen.
For me, when Miharu is on the platform and she's all messed up, and then Garang's like, oh, we got to help her. And they pull her off.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene where the dog is on the platform
grubbing down.
He's eating something on the platform. I'm like, oh, that dog's done. Like, the platform is going to move and they're going to forget the dog. And then the dog is going to go down on the level underneath them. And those people are just going to eat the dog alive. Like, that's what I thought was going to happen.
Jesus Christ.
But then somehow the dog miraculously was not on the platform. But then same fate happened. Just Miharu got it.
Well, from what I took, I knew he was going to get eaten, right? And, but the reason why she brought the dog, right, is so that when she needs food, when she eventually goes down to the lower levels, that's why she needed the dog. That's why she brought him, because she knew that there was at least 200, and eventually she's gonna end up in one of the ones that are below like a level 100, and at that point she was probably gonna eat the dog. No, there was no doubt. That's what it is. Why do you think she was so despondent? And she was so despondent. Oh, because she loved the dog. No.
Wow.
She didn't love the dog. That was her food source. Why else would you bring a dog?
Because she was fucking dingo buck because she was dying. No,
why else would she bring a dog? And the moment she knew that she had to either eat a human being, boom, 171, toast. No way. That was her food for the one point where she was gonna go below the level that she could accept, and without her food source, boom. That's the reason why.
What happened to all the dog piss and shit?
She probably kicked it over.
No, I mean, she probably made him piss and shit in the bathroom.
Or in the bathroom. I mean, she was washing him.
You can't get a dog to piss and shit in the toilet, man.
I don't know. She probably just picked it up and threw it in there.
Yeah, probably.
What happened to all the human shit? Obviously, some of it went down into the people's food.
Was there a toilet? I know there was a sink.
I'm sure there was a toilet. There was a toilet. Sink. A sink.
There you go.
So now this the actress, Imaguri actress, I don't know, she was a little scary looking to me. But I gotta do
it. Had some work done.
I gotta do it. Her, Miharu, or the woman who shat on Baharat. FMK, let's go.
I would marry Miharu because I like them wild. I would fuck the chick that's ready to shit on someone's face. and then this woman looked very, very frightening, and she was stupid as all fuck, so.
She's gotta go. Miharu, even when she's all beat up in the platform, still a beautiful girl. Yeah. They showed a couple of scenes in the fantasies where she's all cleaned up.
Yeah.
And
she was hot.
I mean, this movie has everything. It's got cannibalism. It's got dookie in the face. It's got breasts. You know, everything you need, you want in a movie, this movie has. So, you know, Miharu, she gets the Mary. I forgot who. Dookie lady. She, she's, to me, that's crazy. That's wild. You know, that's the kind of wild you want. So, she's going to have a good time. Even when they first get to level 6, one of the first things you hear are her and her partner just going to town on each other. So, you know, she is down to F. So she gets that. But, Imaguri, sorry, my sweets, you're out.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. The moment she opened up her shirt, I was like a complete turnoff. Couldn't do it. But she does give us a lot of good information.
Yeah. No. She was a great character. I mean,
and she calls it a vertical. They apparently call it a vertical self-management center.
Yeah.
Which is very funny, actually. She theorized that there's 200 floors. We mentioned that earlier, which she was wrong. She talks about how everyone should only eat what they need, which Goreng likes, but she talks about the spontaneous sense of solidarity. And, you know, really she's just talking about society right there. Where in real life, in our world on Earth, we have enough food to feed everyone on it. But people are starving. They're dying because of starvation. And, you know, even people like us, Americans that wanted to get food to underprivileged areas, you know, there's people that prevent it. You know, pirates, military, governments, stuff like that prevent those people from getting it for their own political gain. And it's just really, I think it's just really an interesting way for this movie to make that argument. Did you guys catch all that? Did you guys think that when she was saying all that stuff?
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, if you think about it, on the flashback, they ask him what's his favorite food, right? And he said escargot, and it just happened to be his name from, you know, what's his face, Tumigasi.
My snail.
But if you look at it, every single one of those plates was probably a plate that every single one of those people wanted. If you would have eaten just that plate every single day, it would have been perfectly fine. You know, and that's what she was getting at. It's like, you eat what you need to eat. And what did you need to eat? It was the plate that you ordered. Just eat that plate.
Yeah.
And you would have, everyone would have survived.
What plate would you guys have picked?
I see that. That's a good question. I would have. There's a Chilean like dish. It's pretty much just like rice, a steak, French fries, and like two fried eggs and grilled onions or sauteed onions on top. And that's what I would have ordered.
Did they get like an actual plate like that, or was it just like you get a pizza or you get a hamburger? Dude,
it was whatever they ordered. This fool ordered escargot a la Bordelieu or whatever the hell it was.
Right, but it was just snails. It wasn't like escargot with a side of mashed potatoes and the salad with seasoned dressing.
That's the order that he ordered. If you would have ordered, my favorite is the whole fucking turkey. Because there was a wedding cake on there. Someone must have ordered a wedding cake. That was my favorite food. So if you would have ordered a 5-piece meal, how your mother might have would have made, that's what they probably would have put.
Fair enough.
Mm.
So by the time that Imoguri appears, Gorang is 2 months in. And now he's the cynical one.
Yeah.
And he's in there with someone who's brand new. And he's just a completely changed person, in such a short period of time. It's only been 2 months, but he's just completely a different person and exhausted. And it's really crazy. And, she's talking about this spontaneous sense of solidarity, but he puts through his own cynical theory. And I was curious what you guys thought about that. He says that they're waiting to see if that solidarity will take place so they can figure out how to prevent it from happening if it does happen. Yeah. So it's like if everything continues on the way that it is and everyone just keeps doing this, they don't have anything to worry about in the real world. But if for some reason the miraculous happens, they need to investigate.
Right.
What did you guys think of that? What did you think of that, Gooch?
Well, I mean, it came down to where, he was this communist, what Trimagasi was saying, this open-minded person that, it's easy, ration out your food, blah, 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 live for just enough so that you can survive and let everyone else survive, don't turn into these animals, right? And then he obviously went through what he did, this guy that was this nice, loving guy, turned out to be this monster, and this portrayed monster turned out to be this person that actually helped him, right? With the Maharu, and he just became super cynical. And it's like this woman that was told these things, and this guy's like, "Get the fuck out of here! Have you seen all this?" That's why, like, he let her talk. He's like, "Yeah, say this, say this, say this." I'm like, "These fools aren't gonna listen until you threaten them." And boom, what do you do? He threatened them. And they listened. I mean, farther down you get, it breaks down more that because even if you're even starving for who knows how long, a little bit of poop on some food probably still be looking good, But I mean, I agree. It's an interesting thing because eventually he realizes that he was right, He realizes that the only way to get out of here is to share, to be the person that he was eventually. Why did he need to come in here? There was nothing wrong with him. He smoked and he may have been lazy and didn't work hard enough for his degree, but deep down he was a decent person, And he lost himself for a while and then realized that the only way to get out of here is just, be who he really was. So that's how I came out of it.
Yeah. I mean, and for her, Imoguri, we talked about the dog and everything. And I mean, she snapped at that point.
Snap.
Whether it was the dog or whether it was waking up on level 202 and realizing that she's probably going to die because there's no food or.
No, I think because she had a plan.
It was past 200 or whatever, or there was a plan or whatever.
She had a plan, but, and her plan was. Out the door.
But either way, she's already dead by the time he even wakes up. By the time we even see him on 202, she is dead.
Yeah.
Now, at that point, you know, I mean, he tries to eat paper rather than eat her.
Yeah.
Can you eat paper?
You can. I mean, it's not going to give you any nutrients, but it'll fill your stomach.
Yeah.
It takes away the hunger.
Mm.
But eventually, yeah, you'll kill yourself because there's no nutrients in it.
Okay. Now, if you guys are there, you got to eat it, right?
Oh, no
you
doubt.
You can't starve. You just got to eat it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't eat the cancerous parts, but cut around that.
I wonder if you could actually get cancer from eating cancer. That would be interesting. I don't think you can, though.
I doubt it works that way, yeah.
He had some hallucinations throughout the course of the film. And one of the ones he had during this time was that he woke up and he was on the same level as Maharu. And her first thing that she was going to do was kill him because, you know, that's her MO. She wakes up with someone, she kills the person so that way she can try to wake up on the same level, you know, at the end of the month with her kid. Although, then why was she on the damn platform the whole damn time? She's not going to wake up in the same spot. I don't fucking know. She could just leave and maybe wake up with a different person. Maybe, I don't know. Nevertheless, you know, what really happens is that we get introduced to Baharat. Mm. And, you know,
Duke Master.
Yeah, I don't know why they did my brother dirty like that, but he definitely got shot. He got shot in his fucking eye. It was terrible.
Yeah.
That was fucked up. Now, when
you say fucked up, but you got to give that lady props. Like, not only was she able to aim, but she hit the target, dude. Yeah. And like, Baharat should be lucky that she had such a poor diet that her poop was nice and hard and just it bounced off his face and you know, smeared a little bit here. But like, she could have had diarrhea and just fucking went to town all over
her. And honestly, that's pretty damn good balance too, because you could have easily Baharat could have easily just grabbed her and like kind of pushed her a little bit and like she could have fallen to her death too.
Yeah.
Like, stick like a finger up real quick up there, and he's like, give her the shocker.
This fucking guy. I'm surprised Gorang didn't die himself when that happened, that he didn't just let go and fall, but he didn't.
That fool just
not Gorang, Baharat. I'm sorry. Baharat. Yeah. So Gorang sort of suggests to Baharat at this point, you know, that they should go down on the platform, and which they've already seen Miharu do, and so, you know, they can ration it out themselves, force ration it, which is, you know, them being the government, essentially, with this stuff for the whole, essentially. Now, if you're Baharat, do you go down with Gorang, or you just stay where you are?
I mean, this fool was trying to escape this whole time. It kind of makes sense. I mean, at that point, I would have tried anything because, at least they have all the food and they can always go back up because they're on the thing. So why not? I mean, the only reason why Miharu never made it all the way down, that's why she was riding it, because eventually big guys eventually grabbed her, like that one dude.
Yeah.
And kept her probably tied up. You know, unfortunately, yeah, that's what it was. That's why she never made it down.
Yeah, or but something happened and she'd get stuck on the level trying to defend herself and the platform would go down and she'd be stuck there.
That's what I'm trying to get at. So she'd be stuck on one of these platforms and then it'd be, you know, but the platform would come down every day. So she'd try to get down a little bit further, but eventually two guys may overpower or the two people there may overpower. And that's exactly what was happening when they saw her, you know, and obviously the guy didn't give no abs and just stabbed the hell out of her, but... but I mean, that's why she never made it all the way down. If they would have, all three would have teamed up, they definitely would have made it all the way down. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. She was just getting off the platform and just murdering people outright.
Yeah, exactly.
She didn't give a fuck.
Well, she had to, because she was stopping, and because what they would otherwise, she was a small woman. Otherwise, they would try to grab her and like have her way with her. So her only way was to go up front, either kill one of them and scare the other guy not to do anything.
Yeah.
Or kill both of them.
And she would only attack if they attacked her, because when we're first introduced to her by, or when Gorang is first introduced to her, she's just sitting there chilling. And even, you know, Tim Ragasi was like, don't mess with her, just leave her there, she'll go away when the platform moves.
Yeah.
And fool did nothing, and she just stayed there.
And
right?
instead of offering punches, he offered an open hand to help her. And it was, I mean... That's why she never actually attacked Gorang.
Do you guys think that when people serve their time that they actually get out?
I'm assuming so.
Because Three Migasi mentioned that that had happened.
Yeah, I mean, obviously people knew what the hole was. There had to have been
because that's something, why people came prepared. And
people came prepared. There was obviously people with weapons down there. So there was obviously people that knew that have gotten out. Maybe it was like rumors, though. You know, it was like,
it could
oh,
have
that
been like
really
the Running Man, right?
Yeah,
like how it's like, here's Bob enjoying a nice trip on the beach. Way to go, Bob.
Exactly. That's the other thing you could have been too. But obviously people knew what the hole really was. And that's why they came prepared.
So Imoguri said that there was 200. She thought there was 200 levels, like we mentioned before. Gorang told Baharat that he guesstimated there was 250.
250.
By just doing some math.
Yeah.
There wasn't 250, though. There was 333.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Or maybe 335, technically, with a zero and then the last one, the last level.
Mm-hmm.
With
well,
the
I
dark
think,
room.
So. I mean, for prison, so the way you look at it is that there's 333 levels, a level for every prisoner, but there are two prisoners each, so that means there were 666 people there.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, because they said that some of the cells were empty as they were going down.
But in the beginning, there was 666 people. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, What's-Her-Face killed a bunch of them.
Yeah, she definitely did.
it's not like they were bringing in new people like left and right.
And at the bottom, there was only one. And it was a little girl.
I mean, remember when we talked about before that he talked to this wise man and he told them, you know, what you're doing is a good thing, but you need to talk to them first, convince them, at least give them an opportunity to agree to what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And then obviously you do what you got to do after that point. The next scene after he says that is a montage of them murdering like 10 fucking people. So obviously people didn't do that. People didn't listen to
once
the
once they got to level. Yeah, dude. Once they started going down, like they were just braining fools left and right.
Oh yeah, I mean the first 50 levels, they said no one fed, no one got to eat.
Yeah,
yeah. So those anybody that came to that platform just got a straight fucking bar to the dome.
But I mean, if you look at it as a social commentary, it's like saying if you know the government came and the government said, okay, we want everyone to be able to eat, but in order for everyone to be able to eat, all the rich people, all the 50, the richest people in the world, however percentage that was, like the 10 to 20% of the richest people in the world have to go without eating for a day.
Right.
None of them are going to agree to it, even though they're the ones that get the food the following fucking day. Mm-hmm. Right. They're not going to agree to it. And I think that's, you know, that was emblematic. That's indicative of the human condition. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Those with will not sacrifice for those without.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially not willingly. I'm not going to ask you guys this because I think I already know the answer. But if you're the audience and you're listening to this, like this is something that maybe we all should think about, is being willing to forego a day of food for the benefit of other people. Because I think all three of us would do that. I would.
Mm, you know, I would.
Especially if a motherfucker's standing there with a big ass fucking metal rod from a bed ready to fucking knock my head in. Because the thing is, you would have seen what happened and heard some of what happened above you.
Right.
So when they came down, you'd be like, cool, man. I'll see you tomorrow, bro.
And especially most of those people down there, have already been below level 50. You know, they're like, all right, you're right. I mean, I'm not going to get busted my face open for just, you know, one day I'm not eating.
But I think the thing is, those people felt like they had suffered. And now they get
and
their
deserved
just rewards.
It. Yeah, they deserve the deserved for the suffering. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And you know what? The crazy thing is when they actually do get down there, they encounter a gentleman with Down syndrome, I believe.
Yeah.
Who says he was in a cell with someone who was like an invalid and they fed him like soup or something like that. And he was saying that he would cut open that cellmate's stomach after the platform left just to get what was given to him. And it's just... Wow. I really thought of it as this idea that the poor will eat themselves. Like the rich will leave the poor to their own devices to cannibalize each other.
That was crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just like, fuck them. You know, the rich people will be like, oh, fuck them. I mean, but they're only like that. They're regular people just like everyone else, but they're only like that because they're starving. And when those people wake up on level 53 or level 10, they're not like that, are they? Because they're getting fed. And obviously when they found out that when they were on the platform, if nobody's alive on that level, it just keeps going.
It keeps going. That
was some eerie shit. Cause there was some massacres on some of those levels, man. Nasty stuff.
And there's that one level where two people were just all burnt up.
Yeah. I had a question for you guys about that. Did you think that they burnt themselves up or they tried to take food?
They kept
and
food.
And it just got too hot. But they it was so food. Low that they wouldn't have food though, right?
Maybe they found something or, you know, and because they were so low, they kept it. They're like, we have to ration out. And then fucking they got burnt Toasty. Up.
Yeah, they got burnt up.
And so they eventually get down to a level where Maharu is about to get murdered. Mm-hmm. And she does get murdered, actually.
Yeah.
And I thought it was, I couldn't help but laugh because when Gorang jumps down to try to attack the guy, in the background, you see Baharat do a double leg sidekick on the motherfucker with the samurai sword.
That fool did a missile drop kick. That fool was fucking on the top rope like Mr. fucking Perfect trying to win the Intercontinental Championship and just fucking goes straight fucking drop kick on that fool.
That was so good, Devo. I love that shit so much.
I laughed when I saw that too.
Oh, I was like, yeah.
You have a bar. Hit him with a bar, man. What are you doing? You have a piece of metal.
It was so good.
And then dumbass Gorang.
Baharat did like something that was like worth like an actual attack. Like Gorang, like he got all like, again, you know, he was thinking with the wrong head.
They had bars. Why did he drop his bar and punch the guy in the face? This guy was like three times the size.
Yeah.
Oh, the one dude that Gorang would get fucked up by?
Yeah the guy that was stabbing Maharu.
But the thing is, he saw his lady getting all sliced up, and he just lost all smarts.
Because he was definitely fantasizing about her.
Oh, yeah.
They showed him fucking, you know, choking his chicken, and he was thinking about boning her. So, you know, he was obviously feeling some type of way about her. But Baharat gets sliced up in the process. Yeah. He does kill that fucking guy. He takes a sword and cuts the other fucking guy's head off, which was fucking gnarly and awesome. And then they go by. There was another one where a guy killed himself when the platform was on the way up, just held off the edge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And Panna Cotta is the message, was, you know, the refrain that they had leading down into the bottom level. Mm-hmm. Right. They had, I think they were sort of PTSD, shell shocked by the whole situation.
Oh, yeah.
At that point, and so they were just kind of trying to hold on to the reason why they did this. And they get down to the bottom, and we find out that Miharu, the rumors about her,
they were true.
Because Imogiri says that it's false. Yeah. She has this thing where she says, I'm the one that let her in. She's by herself. She has no family. I don't know if she was lying or she got lied to.
Again,
I'm assuming she got lied to.
Lied to, man. She firmly thought there was 200 floors, dude.
No, I'm saying maybe Miharu lied to Umagiri.
Oh, well, Miharu would lie, because Miharu, for some reason, she found out that her daughter was in here. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there's plot holes. They didn't. The administration did not tell Imiguri everything, obviously, because this little girl was in here. What the hell was she doing in here?
Yeah. So I was almost curious, like, whether or not, obviously there's a couple different scenarios here. Most likely when you're asked what you can bring, maybe Maharu was like, I want to bring my daughter. And that was what she brought. And then they got, Timagrassi says that they got separated. And so it sounds like they were there together at some point and then they got split up. So, you know, another thing too is maybe Maharu has been there a very, very, very long time, went in there without a child, and then because of the state of the people that are in there, she got impregnated and had maybe it's possible she had the child in the hole.
Maybe. I mean, the kid, I guess so. I mean, the kid looked like they were full Asian.
I mean, the
Asian,
kid looked
so
like she was like
Asian guy, I'm guessing.
And she also looked like she was, what, 8, 9, 10? I don't know if people last in there that long, but
I mean, they did say there was something special about the kid in the sense that maybe the kid could survive without food or something like that. They insinuated something like that.
Because she was
that.
At the very bottom level and you know, who knows how long she'd been down there.
Mm-hmm.
And And so Baharata, he died from his wound eventually, mm-hmm. unfortunately. And the platform stopped in the dark room. They went down. Although it looked very fucking creepy when the platform went down without them and it just went into the darkness. I was like, that's fucking creepy. But they went down there anyways. And there, I thought it was interesting because there was no debris down there. And I was like, how is this possible? So maybe they cleaned it. Someone came and cleaned it. Or maybe at that point, there was no food left on there. So no one was really touching it ever at the last couple levels. No one even bothered touching it. So nothing was moving at that time. So it could move down and move back up without anything moving. And it was moving slow, but when it went up, it whooshed up. Some of that stuff is going to fall off, right?
Well, I think it's the way it was an allegory of him dying. He finally figured out what he needed to do. He put the girl on there, and like he even said that he was her gatekeeper, right? He was her aporte. She was like his protector. She needed help to get up, and then that's when he started seeing. Shimagas is like, no, she doesn't need the message doesn't need any help. She goes up by herself. So
maybe he lost that in translation
he was dying and he wanted to go up, but he couldn't. He was now part of, you know, he was dead. So his very last thing, he put her on there and sent her back up.
So you don't think he actually got to the bottom?
No, I think it was just a way to signify that he didn't make it. He was never gonna leave this place. But he did reach what he wanted to do. He got technically out. Yeah, he got the message.
Yeah, because the whole time as it's going down, the child's asleep.
Yeah,
and she's out. And even as it's going up, she's out. So. You know, I kind of also wonder if maybe, even though, you know, Baharat saw her as well, maybe the girl wasn't even real, you know?
Well, I think the girl was real, but I just don't think that, you know, the way going down, him going down and like, you know, because he's like pleading with no one. He's pleading with no one because he's like talking to Trimagasi, but Trimagasi's not there. He's dead. So yeah. This is all in his head, you know? So... That's how I picked it up, and that's what I read from it when I was listening to it, because he walked away fine with Shimagasi, so why would he walk away? Because they're both dead. He didn't make it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So my last question for you guys before we get to Kim Coppola is,
oh, man,
if they came to you and asked you, what would you like to see in the sequel to this movie? I don't think there is going to be a sequel.
I don't think so.
Saying that there wasn't going to be one, but say they change their mind. And they're going to make a sequel. What do you want to see in it?
Go ahead, Diva.
One of the beauties about this film is the unexpected. You don't really know what's happening. You don't really know what's going to happen. And then the reasoning behind everything gets unfolded to you. Because this movie has already happened, you're not going to have that same experience with a platform 2. So it couldn't be a similar film. You know, because you look at all the Saw movies, they all just end up becoming gore porn. And it's they're all basically the same movie. So I would like to have the platform 2 be different than that. I think for me, the only twist or the only thing that I would like to see is maybe something in the future where you know, maybe there are a couple more other platform systems, and the girl has actually become like the head of the administration.
Interesting.
I think it's it's like a social commentary about the like a human condition, about like, you know, taking more than what you need, you know. So I don't know if they could do a sequel to it. It doesn't really lead itself to it. If it is, again, I think Devo has it right on the... It just turns into horror porn, where it's mm-hmm. like, you know, just more and more gore and more gore. It's like how Hostel and Hostel 2 were like, it got bumped up more. The Saw sequels and a few others where it just they just bumped up the gore, but like the story itself got lost in the gore, you know. Yeah. And I think that's what's going to happen if they do it again with this.
Like, I was thinking that they learned from that, like the administration learned from it, and like Gorang's theory was correct, and so they sort of souped up the platform and made some changes, and the main character will be like a completely different person that has to deal with how they've changed the platform, you know, for it, you know, I mean, to like prevent what happened with Gorang, you know? But of course the movie's called The Hole in Spain. So that makes it a little bit different that it's not so much focused on the platform itself. So it doesn't necessarily have to be this platform idea. You know what I mean?
And we never know. And what Dio was saying is that, you know, obviously if there is 333 floors, you know, that's 666. Maybe it's a hole to hell.
Satan.
And, no, you know,
that's fucking cool, Gooch.
And then
fucking gets me excited.
And then they put these people in these situations where it's like they have to be there. Otherwise, you know, something bad can happen. Because honestly, even the world itself, like I said, again, the platforms and the prison looked very futuristic. But like when they were on top where the normal people were, the area itself, obviously when Gorang,
it had to be in the future, Gooch.
It had to be, right? True, I agree, it had to be in the future. But this guy's talking about throwing a television out the window and killing someone, you know? And I'm assuming it was an old CRT TV. I mean, I guess you could throw, an 80-inch, you know, plasma TV and probably kill someone, I agree. But honestly, with the TVs now, I mean, they would have to be some high-ass location to actually kill someone with a TV now. And it's an old man. So I'm assuming it can't, I mean, come on, you know?
I mean, if it landed on the corner, maybe.
The very corner, it's just this bad luck. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But most likely, the stand would hit the person first.
Exactly right. Yeah, he's gonna rip it off his wall if it's I'm assuming, I mean, he threw a CRT. Let's be honest.
Given the nature of his character, we don't even know if that's fucking true.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? He just made the shit up. Yeah.
He's a completely unreliable narrator. Yeah.
So, again, but that's, I think that would be the only real way, because we don't know how the platform moves. There's no mechanisms. It could be magnetism. And if he did go all the way down to the bottom, there's nothing down there. So, I mean, that's still an open question. So it could be, you know, being controlled by supernatural forces for all we know.
I mean, it's not even clear it's on Earth.
It's because you're not even on clear Earth. And again, it could be a hole to hell. So, so
that's a really fucking cool idea. So I really like that idea.
I think it would definitely go away from the social commentary, then move into more of a supernatural type, you know, story.
I mean, it's not going to happen. They already talked about it.
Yeah, I was reading it.
The director said he wouldn't probably do another one.
Yeah, I read that too. So.
Kim Coppola, fellas.
You know, I want to get your guys' take on it first, because again, I had an advantage over you guys because I did understand him. And
well, let's do that when we do our scores.
No, but the Kim Coppola Awards, I personally don't think anyone really did that bad.
Okay.
Because
let me think about the Kim Coppola.
Think of it. Well, go for it, Devo.
For my Kim Coppola, it's going to go to Antonia San Juan, who played Imaguri. You know, she was just stone cold. She was and then for me, the kind of thing that kicked it is when Maharu killed a dog. Gorang gets woken up by, "Oh, I hate you, you bitch! I hate you! Oh, I hate you so much!" And then it's just like the struggle that she has with Maharu, who is a stone cold killer, and she is just, you know, trying to avenge her dog. But like the acting was just so terrible. The actress wasn't doing much. There's little to no emotion from her. I don't know if it was because of the plastic in her face or what, but that's my pick.
And would you include that the dub enhanced how bad it was?
I only experienced the dub, and it definitely didn't help. So maybe that was it. But, you know, for everybody involved, like, she was the one character I liked it the least. Yeah.
Go ahead, Clint. Because I'm pretty sure it's going to come down to you guys, because I don't think anyone did a bad job here. Like, there was four people.
I don't
people,
really either.
There was four people that had... To, that had
when
sorry,
you listen to it in, in the native language... She sounds somewhat believable. I think it's just her character.
She did
like
a good
job.
Her character is supposed to be like that. I mean,
yeah,
I thought she did a good job.
But I'm going to give it to her because her character is probably the dumbest fucking character. Like, of all the people that are in there, she's fucking dumb.
I'm going to have to go
like,
with you guys.
She thought that actually somehow that was a good place to be. Yeah. It was fucking stupid.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you guys because, like, I do have a distinct advantage here because I listen to it in Spanish. I was watching it and listening to it, the way she was emoting, the way she acted in it, she did good. I mean, she did a good job in those. Even when she was talking as like a ghost or a hallucination, she still did a good job there. I'm gonna go with you guys because it's two against one because I can't really pick anyone. I like
the
all
scene where they made their faces like overlapped on each other. That was fucking creepy.
That was good. Yeah, that was fucking good
cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
So Antonia San Juan, congratulations, Kim Coppola.
Oi.
All right, fellas, scores. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Yeah, go for it.
I love this movie. I did not know what to expect coming in. Right off the bat, it's got the freakiness, the psychological thriller that I loved from Saw. It's got some gore in it, but it's not like, for me, like when you have those movies like Saw, it's like, oh, what's the most, you know, disgusting thing we could do? What's the weirdest thing that we could do to make it look disgusting, you know? This, I felt anything that happened was a result of the environment that they were in and was almost validated in what was happening in this world. The way that the story unfolded, the way that you were not just spoon-fed everything at the very beginning, the way that you learn more about these characters, the way you see that, you know, that your main character descend and then reascend, just the movie just worked for me. Everything from start to finish was great, with the exception of that one actress. So for me, I give this movie an 8.
Damn, I thought you were gonna give a much higher score, Devo, than that. After you fucking lauded it.
8 is a good score, though. I mean, yeah, you gotta think of it. 8's a really good score. I mean, it wasn't perfect, obviously. I actually liked it more than Ravenous. And now that I've watched both of them,
wow.
Because I thought this one had more, like, I like the social commentary of it, you know, and it dealt with more of, what it made me think of was, there was a incident back in Stalin Soviet Union time where they gathered a bunch of people up from like the cities and stuff, right, and they sent them to a island in Siberia. And they're like, here, you know, obviously it's fucking a gulag on a fucking island. They're like, here, you guys got to do, you know, there's minimal resources, and they continued to try to make do, and they turn cannibal. So it was, and this reminded me of that. I'm gonna give it a 8 as well.
That was a great explanation, Gooch. I did not know about Cannibal Island. I gotta look that up.
Yeah, maybe look it up, man. It's crazy.
Something like that. That's fucking nuts. Mm-hmm. It's kind of sad, actually, that people will, mm-hmm. you know, you put them in situations and you can just see how they can devolve. I am a little surprised that you guys lauded this movie the way that you did, but gave 8s, because I feel like I got to give this movie a 9. I don't think it's perfect, but I'm struggling to figure out what about it is not perfect. The effects were good. The story was good. The acting was fucking good. Man, it was fucking out there. Definitely my kind of movie, but definitely dark and constrained in a lot of ways. And, you know, the only really thing is the world building was intentionally vague.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we got a little bit more of that, I would maybe like it even more, because then there's like this possibility that there's this whole world out there that this, you know, that this story is based on, but we don't get that. I mean, in a lot of ways, that makes the movie really good. And so I'm going to give it a 9. I feel like that's not the highest I've given anything, right, Devo? I think I've given Existence maybe
you give
Terminator
it a 9.5.
Existence is 9.5, but
that's the highest you give.
That's as high as you go.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't think it's as good as Terminator 2 or Beetlejuice, because I don't.
I think it's better than Beetlejuice, yeah. But I don't and have it higher frankly as you guys.
And obviously, it's all for different reasons.
Yeah,
right?
It's all for different reasons.
And I had Terminator 2 at 9.
Nine.
Okay. Shit.
Like, there's no way. I don't think it's. I mean,
it's just a different type of movie. You know what I mean? For what I mean, it's just as good.
Don't let us change your mind, man. Do if you're gonna give it a 9, give it a 9.
You know, when you go back and look at a movie like Terminator 2,
Beetlejuice a 10. Yeah, I mean, I love Beetlejuice. I don't think it's a 10.
I mean, but you go back and look at some of these movies and the effects are bad, and even though you love the movie and stuff like that, but this movie pretty much has got it all right, and I didn't really have much to criticize it about as being like dumb or, you know, its characters being dumb. It's fucking pretty good all the way around. I just was...
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to pick it, and I'm glad that you guys enjoyed it, because I don't know if you guys would have found out about this movie if I hadn't mentioned it. And
no, I probably would.
Did you guys get my Thanksgiving reference when it comes to this movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Pretty right off the bat. So yeah, this Thanksgiving, if you want to, you know, watch a movie not with your family, this is a good one.
Or maybe with your family, just not the little ones.
And hope you get level 1.
Yeah.
So yeah, I give it a 9. I give it a 9. I really, really fucking enjoyed it. It's my kind of movie.
It was a really good movie. This is the kind of movie where it's like, you know, obviously it's not going to be on TV, but if we're hanging out and then it's like, oh, we should watch Platform, I'm like, yeah, let's put it on.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
Existence, I know you guys gave that high. Like, that's not like the kind of movie that I would like be like, oh, I really want to go out of my way to watch it. But there's just something about this movie, you know? It's just like you said, like, I think you just put it perfectly, Clint. Like, there's nothing wrong with this movie. It's not perfect, but it's great. And it's really, really good. And from start to finish, it's really well done. And it's just, it's as disgusting as the stuff that's happening, it was a joy to watch.
I honestly didn't think it was disgusting. It really was. I think the parts they didn't explain kind of left a bit too wide open, and reasons why people are there. I think that's why I didn't give it as much as it probably could. But other than that,
That's what I said. Like, just I said, the world building wasn't fleshed out.
Exactly. So like I said, I think that's why it's a good strong movie. Like it's definitely a movie that you want. Someone like a good psychological scare, definitely. Yeah.
Well, who's up next week? Devo.
Devo's up next week.
No.
Yeah, because I had Beetlejuice, and that was me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's me.
Yeah, it's you.
Oh yeah, I'm excited. I've been waiting for this for a long, long time. So next week we're gonna watch one of my favorite movies. For me, one of the funniest comedies ever. It's one that I've watched. You know, this is not a childhood Devo comedy. This is more of a middlehood Devo comedy, and that's Basketball.
Oh my God, I haven't seen this movie forever.
Okay.
All right.
Trey Parker, Stone. The South Park Geniuses. One of the greatest comedies of all time.
At first, I thought you were going to say Freddy Got Fingered. I was like, oh, but Basketball is out there too.
Oh, I love this movie. I'm excited for this.
It'll be our last movie in November, right? So there we
November,
go.
November, yeah.
Yep.
Basketball. The October Classic in November, baby.
That's how we do.
All right. Devo, you want to wrap it up for me?
Yeah. So go ahead and follow us on the socials. Instagram, W2S Pod. Twitter, Welcome to Show. You know, let us know what you think about these movies as well. If there's a movie you want us to watch, you want us to comment on, let us know.
Yeah.
We'll be more than happy to check it out if we can get our hands on it. And until then, we'll see you guys later.
See you later.
And don't end up on below 150.
No.
Obviously.